In the name of Jesus, amen. How many of you like to get dressed up? I mean, we get dressed for all kinds of reasons. You know, we get dressed to be protected from the sun. We get dressed to be protected from the cold. How many of you are looking forward to the day when you just can wear the same thing every day, all day? Anybody? I knew someone years ago who wore the same thing all the time, and I thought it was so cool. Talk about being comfortable with who you are. There are times when I'm about to leave the house, and I hear, "You're not going out like that." Do you hear the same thing every once in a while? You know, being dressed and wearing clothes is something that's also a part of our story. You know, sociologists, they think about and speculate on why the human being started wearing clothes, but we actually know the reason in our story, our meta-narrative of the scriptures. You know, being dressed is pretty important to God, and God sees to it. Now, of course, we know that going way back, our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve were naked, and they were fine. We wouldn't be fine. They were fine. But we also know that when they took the bait of Satan's lie and thought that the truth that God was speaking was false, they realized they were naked and they were just so embarrassed and so ashamed. And there was only two of them there. And they hid from each other. They hid from God. And we also know that God covered them. He dressed them. He clothed them. And it became very important for God during the whole Old Testament to keep that idea of covering in mind. And in all kinds of different ways. I mean, did you know that even clothes could become leprous? And there were specific things that God's people were supposed to do when their garments had leprosy. And in the priesthood, Aaron wore all the names of the tribes of Israel on his robe. And the robes had meaning. And this idea of being dressed really comes to its fulfillment in Christ. And our title is True Religion Covered by Christ. In October, we've been going through Holy Week. It's kind of interesting. We've been looking at the last week of our Savior's life. And he's welcomed into Jerusalem. And then he casts everybody out of the temple. And then his authority is challenged. And it's not like everyone was against Christ. There were plenty of people looking at him and thankful for the true religion that he was bringing to them, the grace and the mercy of God. But there were leaders in the church that were just fed up. And in Holy Week, Jesus is spending time having a public argument with them in the presence of all the people that were accepting what Jesus was doing. I had not ever thought about it this way until working through this with you, that Jesus, in his last week, before he hears crucify and is crucified on Friday, he is spending time talking about the treasures of God. It is so cool. He's talking about the most important things. And for these leaders, these are the punchlines of what their religion was supposed to be all about. But they had turned their religion into turf. They had turned it into something that, by golly, they were going to be in charge of, and they were going to do whatever they needed to do to keep it that way. Except for they were afraid of all the people. And all Jesus is doing is sharing the jewels of what it means to be in the kingdom of God. So he talks about a vineyard, talks about a marriage feast. He talks about a feast. It is so powerful. It is so powerful. The challenge is that these religious people did not want to have anything to do with that kind of religion. The kind of religion that they were all about was all about them. Beware of religious people. Beware of the ones that just want to have turf. Beware of the ones that just want to push back and not really engage true religion. And so today, Jesus continues this public feud with these leaders. He's talked about the owner of the vineyard coming and then finally sending the son, and then they realize, boy, Jesus is talking about us. But they don't say anything because they're afraid of the people. And then Jesus tells this story that is absolutely beautiful. And it's all about being dressed, being covered. And we find it in chapter 22 of Matthew's gospel. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven, now he's going to talk. This is what it's all about. It's about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. Oh, wedding feasts. For the Old Testament people, that was what it was all about. In the Old Testament, even in the New Testament age, when there were weddings, it was a celebration. This is a brand new family. This is God creating another community. And it was a big deal. A big celebration. Even in the Old Testament, God would often talk about being the husband of the bride, the people of Israel. So this is near and dear stuff to God. Verse 3. And sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went off to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. We just saw what evangelism looks like. Telling people that everything's prepared, everything is ready. Come and join the family of God. And this is how you'll be received. We have with us today Aaron Farrow. He's a DCE with a call to Chile, and he's going to share with us his story and his hopes and his dreams. I don't know, Aaron, it sounds kind of risky. But it's still our heart to share the good news. We know what it means to be delivered. We know what it means to be embraced and loved and forgiven. But moms and dads, grandparents and grandmas and grandpas, sharing the gospel with others isn't always going to be well received. This invitation, all's ready. Come and join the feast. Be a part of my family. Be a part of my celebration. Plenty won't want to join. And they will be aggressive against the invitation as well. The king was angry. And he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Gosh, this is an allusion to the destruction of Jerusalem, 70 AD. Then he sent to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. It's a party. It's a party. I mean, God loves to party with his people. That's what the kingdom of heaven is all about. But the king came in to look at the guests. He saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. So people were brought. The evangelism was effective. But then the king saw someone who wasn't dressed for the party. What's this about? What does this mean? What kind of Old Testament picture is being preserved here and reminding the people of? What does it mean to be dressed for the kingdom of heaven? What does it mean to have the right stuff on so that the comment isn't shared? Are you going out with that? Are you going to that place like that? In Isaiah chapter 61, we hear these words. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. You're the garden. You're the wedding dress. You are that which sprouts up in all righteousness for the nations to see in the garments of salvation, covered in Christ. And that happened when you were baptized. Paul says, for all of you who have been baptized have been clothed with Christ. You've been dressed in the righteousness of Jesus. You look awesome in Christ. Trust in what God has dressed you in. Trust in what God has dressed you up with in his Son. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we hear it is impossible to please God apart from faith that trusts in him. So trust in what God has done. And understand that not only are you dressed in the robes of righteousness, but you're dressed for all occasions. You have in Christ what you need across anything and everything in your life. Trust in that. Take comfort in that. Because that's what God has done in his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The challenge for you and for me is, well, let me say it this way. How many of you have seen your kids or neighborhood kids take off all their clothes and run around? Awkward. Have you ever been in a care home where the elderly are and you see people taking off their clothes? Awkward. But here's the challenge. Dressed in the robes of righteousness, when we become too overly angry at others, or when we think clicking on this is okay this time, or we think that, you know, lusting after someone is okay, or telling a fib, or failing to do what you need to do, you're stripping off your righteousness and you're spiritually streaking. When you're losing it with someone in your home, you're spiritually undressing yourself. You're exposing everybody to your sinful nakedness. That's what the Pharisees were doing to Jesus. They were exposing themselves in public to their ungodliness, to their irreverence. Now, when that happens in the home and the husband's losing it with the wife needs to say, oh, honey, let's get you dressed back up in the robes of righteousness. Let's get over this and let's forgive and go forward. Tragedy is a lot of times we just let people spiritually streak all over the place. And then we wonder why the church is so ineffective in our day and our time. Thinking that we can get it done half dressed? as if in our own efforts we can make a difference. We need Jesus, all of him, covering all of us all the time. And in that, we can learn what Paul did, to be content in all circumstances, whether with a lot or with nothing. Understanding that in Christ, I can do all things. The big challenge we tell our kids, you can do everything and anything, and then we wonder why they have such struggles. They can't do everything and anything. In fact, they're really good at doing all the wrong stuff. What they need is the gospel that dresses them up over and over and again. I mean, how many of you, in hearing the gospel today and hearing about this beautiful dress, are finding yourself saying, oh yeah, I need to trust in Jesus and get better dressed for all occasions? Not only that, but trusting in Jesus, believing in what he's done for us. We enjoy the manifold blessings of God. It's interesting, in Luther's Large Catechism, he talks about how those who believe enjoy, E-N-J-O-Y, the manifold blessings of God. And that's what that feast language is all about. I mean, it's going to be a party. When Jesus comes back to judge the living and the dead, it's going to be a party. On that day, we will say, this is our God, we waited for him. Not only that, but that covering that goes over all the nations, that oppresses us, death, we'll see God swallow that like a cherry. Now that will be something, to see God swallowing death, and then death being digested by God. I mean, just sounds so cool. Makes you wonder what he'll say. But we heard what we'll say. This is our God, we waited for him. But until that feast of victory, in communion we get the foretaste of the feast to come. Until that time we can feast and enjoy the manifold blessings of God now, knowing that in Christ we're covered, we're dressed for all occasions. And we can encourage each other to wear the robes of righteousness when we're losing it and spiritually streaking again. And then being covered up by the love and the care of those around us. I mean, isn't that what parenting is? Teaching kids how to trust in what Jesus has done. Isn't that what marriage is? Trusting in what the Lord will care for us and live in his provision. And I'll remind you, you remind me, and let's remind everybody. That's what it means to enjoy the manifold blessings of God and to feast on what God has in store. And frankly, all along, Jesus is trying to dress the Pharisees up and put the robes of righteousness on them, and they're just more and more exposing themselves to their ungodliness. And all along, Jesus is just encouraging them, but they've had it. And he's at the end of his ministry. It's his last week before he gets it all done and prepares everything for us so that we can trust in what he's done for us and wear that garment every day through faith in Christ. There's a song, I didn't sing it the first service, but I just love this song. I learned this at the campus center in Laramie, Wyoming at UW. It goes this way: I'm covered over with the robes of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. I'm covered over with the precious blood of Jesus, and he lives in me. Oh, what a joy it is to know my heavenly Father loves me so, he gives to me my Jesus. When he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be. He sees Jesus. I mean, you might have some clothing faux pas this week. I probably will. But here's the truth for you and for me and for us all. In Christ, we're covered. And that's what true religion is all about, trusting in what Jesus has done and admitting our need to be dressed again by God in the words of absolution that we can share with each other during the course of the week. But that's what true religion is. It's covered by Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.